This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by McAfee.
Yes! Playoff tickets! Just need to click here and... Wait, what? Fake site? Good thing McAfee threw the red flag. That would have been $400 gone.
McAfee blocks risky sites so you don't pay for seats and other things that don't exist. Plans start at just $39.99 for your first year. That's cheaper than parking on game day. Learn more at McAfee.com/online protection.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Blue and hot, hot.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rivers backs to throw.
Phillip Rivers, it's an easy call for the Colts.
Live from the Rich Eisen Studios in New York City. Earlier on the show, WWE superstar Gunther. Coming up, Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward. Emmy Award-winning actor Hank Azaria. Actor Paul Rudd. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show, live from the New York City studios of ESPN and the magical world of Disney. We are live and on the air here, first of 2 days of our four-day residency. TJ Jefferson holding his head in his hand because he learned during the commercial break that Pete Alonso is an Oriole. The Mets lost Edwin Diaz and his trumpets to Los Angeles yesterday. It's been a rough two-day stretch for the Metropolitans and their fans here in the metropolitan area. Don't worry, Hank Azaria will be here shortly to hug it out with you. He's a fellow Met fan. Paul Rudd's making his way to the studio in support of his new movie with Jack Black called Anaconda. It's exactly what you think, except it isn't. That's an hour number three. We'll talk about his Chiefs as well. My power rankings still to come. There's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. ESPN Radio audience is presented by Progressive Insurance. We say hello to anybody who's streaming us live, listening to us live. And if you are streaming us live and you're seeing, all right, put him up on the screen. Is he smiling? Is Cam Hayward smiling? Because last time I saw this man was on his podcast when I was talking so much smack about Michigan against Ohio State that Jack Sawyer even blushed. Congratulations, Cam Hayward, on winning that game, your team and your alma mater, and obviously what's going on with your team. What's up, man?
Nothing much. You know, we got a win versus the boys in blue, but, you know, that was expected. We were supposed to do that. Now we got our work cut out for us in the playoffs, and, you know, we got our work cut out for us for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, I'm looking forward to taking care of that.
All right, a lot of work being cut out. I'm happy to stop talking about college football. Very happy to just move on from that one. How are you? You know, happy to move on from that.
So we can keep talking about it. I'm cool with that. No, it's cool. We can get back to it. We made bets. I didn't even ask about the bets. I just, you know, I'll keep those in a back pocket for a later time. But we did.
I don't remember doing anything like that. I said I would just come on your pod the week before. You know, I don't, the rest of it, I'm a 56-year-old man. My memory's a little hazy. No, but if we did, I'm happy to figure out whatever the heck that was. Did I do that in some sort of a Bert Kreischer haze at the Super Bowl with you? Did I do something stupid in New Orleans like most people do when they're down there? Did I do that? Forget.
I think it was just like Ohio State Cam Hayward jersey you were supposed to wear on TV. So,
oh God,
we can make that.
Wow.
We can
that I don't remember, but oh my God. Oh my God. All right. I don't think they come in my size. All right. Let's talk about your current. Okay. So Oh my god.
Good job, Cam.
All right, Cam, let's talk about your current situation. Yes. What was it like going into that game last week with the conversation about the Steelers and Mike Tomlin in a way that didn't really has reached a fever pitch there in that town about it's no longer working out for the team and Mike Tomlin? How do you respond to something like that, Cam?
You know, I think when you respond to it, I think it's just got to be your play. You know, I think everybody wants to make a big deal about our coach, but at the end of the day, the players have to answer for it, and rightfully so. Coaches coach, players play, and our execution definitely had to pick up. Going into that game, we knew what was at stake, and there's still a lot more games at stake going forward, but we understand we're in the mix of five games where we got to have what we want if we want to qualify for the playoffs. And it's not about pointing the finger. It's about getting the job done. And I think our guys know that. And we know we're going to answer more questions. We're not going to shy away from it. But, you know, our tape speaks for it. And when we put out bad tape, you got to answer for it. When you put out good tape, you got to answer for it. But, you know, that's just the business.
Well, I mean, and you know the business, having been in this league for 15 years, all with the Steelers, all with Mike Tomlin. I know the answer to the question I'm about to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I think it is maybe illustrative or illustrative of what you know to be the case there. Is Tomlin any different when the pressure's on like that and he's hearing calls for his head and people screaming, fire Tomlin, Cam?
No. I think the thing that we really appreciate about it is just he's locked in and consistent. It doesn't have to be some rah-rah speech to change the mood. No, it's what he says from week one. You know, he's going to attack you. He's going to be consistent. He's going to know what we need to accomplish in those moments. But he's got to hammer those moments home, and then it's up for us to deliver. And he beat all week up about those moments being special, especially in these Steeler and Ravens games. Even in his Saturday night speech, he was showing clips of, you know, years ago when we played the Steelers and Ravens. And you would watch, you know, Troy making a interception and going to the, you know, taking it to the crib and watching them win the AFC Championship. Or, you know, countless times where it came down to one game that decided the AFC North. And it just talked about how you had to step up in those moments. And I appreciate that. You know, I don't have to go searching for, you know, somebody to, you know, fire me up. You know, it's week to week with him. He knows what we expect.
So that's what he did Saturday night in the hotel.
Yep.
He showed you some greatest hits, literally and figuratively, from that rivalry. Yep.
There's plenty of them, but, he showed them most recently.
Yeah, sure are. Yeah, I mean, paint swapping affairs, and I guess there's some youngins on the team that need to maybe be brought up to speed about what that series is all about, you know, and what it's been that way for you, right? What was that first one for you? Do you remember your first Ravens Steelers game, Cam? Oh. What was that?
Oh, my first Ravens Steelers game started my career. They were just coming off of losing in the Super Bowl. And we were playing them, and man, we got the crap kicked out of us. I didn't start that game. I remember thinking, like, oh, this is a different game. I don't know if I'm ready. I think they hung like 30 something points on us. I think they even got like a fake field goal on us late. It was a crash out moment to start my career. But, you know, luckily I got to be part of a lot more.
And what was it like coming off that field with the win, too? Cam, what was that like for you this week?
It was special. It was special. You know, you go into a hostile environment, and, you know, Baltimore Raven fans are passionate. They care a lot about their team. And, you know, you're hearing it from the outside. But, you know, you love to play the villain in those moments. You know, I saw Mike T blowing a kiss at the camera after the game. Aaron was hyped about it, you know. Aaron even said, man, I love being a part of these type of rivalries. Like, you know, it's the closest thing you get to a college rivalry. And it's pretty special.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about college rivalries. You know, I
mean, we always got to come back to it, right?
You know, did you do that on purpose, Cam? Did you do that on purpose? Course. Was that next level four-dimensional chess right there? Okay. Well, when you mentioned about, you know, Mike T blowing a kiss and what Aaron had to say, I'm noticing, and I think everyone else has, the three of you guys walk off the field together, right? You sometimes even wait for Aaron to maybe be done with a post-game press conference. Why do you do that? A post-game moment after the game with a broadcast. Why are you guys doing that?
Well, me and Mike T, we started this a couple years ago, and it was just like, you know, before the game, he was always like, let's slow walk out of here after this game. And that just means we've got the job done, and we just get to embrace the moment. And then this year, we started including Aaron in it. It takes a little bit longer because Aaron is long-winded in his interviews, but, you know, we love to include him in our traditions.
So it was 2 years ago where Tomlin comes up to you and is like, let's accomplish the mission and relish this moment. That's what he says to you? And you've been doing it ever since?
We've been doing it for a while. You know, we got the gray hair to prove it.
Well, what do you say to each other? You mind sharing this? Be a fly on the wall when you are slow walking off a field, like, say, this week when Tomlin's under fire and Rodgers runs one in and throws one in? You know, like, and you do what you're doing defensively on the Ravens and shutting it down. What do you say to each other in general?
It's a quick debrief, talking about what happened in the game. And you know, you're looking around, looking at our fans. We're appreciative of them. We're shouting them out. But man, it's just the moment you take in and to just admire, like, the chaos that has already happened. And it's fun to, you know, you only do that after wins. After losses, it's get your ass in the locker room and keep it moving. But after wins, you get to admire just, you know, the mad faces you get to see and the happy faces. It kind of feels like, do you remember the old Kobe Bryant commercial where everybody would just, they were all in the stands yelling, I hate you, in different ways?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of feels like that. Yeah, and you just get to appreciate that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. There was his farewell commercial. I do remember that. And then Rodgers at his post-game press conference, when asked what this means, this win means, with what everyone's been saying about Mike Tomlin, and he basically said maybe it'll just shut you all up for the week. Did you see that one, Cam?
I hadn't really paid attention to that one, but that's not surprising by Aaron to say that. You know, it's going to shut him up for a week, but they'll be right back on Saturday ready to fire up.
Well, I mean, it is that time of year, I guess, and it has just been a season that is there, though, for you guys to take. I mean, it's right there where you are taking this lead in the division into Monday Night Football against the Dolphins team that would love to get back to 500. And then, you know, it's going to be a Rodgers tour, one last kick around in the NFC North for him, where visiting Detroit, and then you got that Cleveland matchup before you see Baltimore again. What are you guys thinking about the possibilities of making this a 5-game win streak going into the playoffs, massive momentum, and going on a run here, Cam?
I think that's the way we look at it. We want to get hot late, but it's not just, you know, consuming all 5 games at one time. It's taking one game at a time. And you know, Miami's trying to get to 500. You know, they're a very good team, run the ball very well. A lot of respect for those guys, you know, from where they started to where they are now. But man, if we can get hot at the right time and then go in these playoffs with some steam, I think that creates for, you know, everything we want. And, you know, you had told me at the beginning of the year, we'd be in December, in first place in our division. That's where we want to be. And we got some work to do, but, you know, I like it that way, and hopefully we can hit our stride late.
In the few minutes I have left with you, Alex Highsmith, your teammate, was the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee from your team. You're a guy who wears that patch on the chest. It may be the greatest patch in all of sports. What's your thoughts on hearing that about your teammate trying to follow in your footsteps, Cam?
Alex is so deserving of, you know, the nomination. You know, it's not just him being a part of his own events, he attends my events. And this award is about giving back in different ways and being a person of the people. And I'm very thankful to have brothers throughout this league that have done it at a high level and have also given back. And Alex is a culmination of that. And I watch what he does. I watch how he cares about people. I watch how he donates his time back to Charlotte as well. His story is unbelievable. Being a walk-on at Charlotte and, you know, transforming his body the way he did to going on to be a pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers and be that guy, be high level. When I look at him and TJ and Herbig, man, there's no Batman and Robins. It's a bunch of Batmans out there. And those guys are, you know, very special. And Alex is doing it at a very high level.
Well, and then before I let you go, I'm going to turn you into a pundit, since that may be in your future, if that's who you so choose when you're done playing. What'd you think of the news that Philip Rivers is coming off the couch and he's back with the Colts right now, Cam? And they are legit talking about he could start at Seattle on Sunday at age 44, Cam. What do you think about this?
So what came to mind was, I know he has 10 kids. And I was like, that health insurance ran out. And so now it's time to restart that thing. But, you know, it's crazy. He's like 45 years old with a 2-year-old. I'm like, I can't go back to that well. I can't go back to diapers. And that's the crazy part about me. But, you know, and then I just think taking all that time off and then saying, hey, I'm going to strap it up. I'm going to get tackled. Luckily, he's got a great O-line. I got a lot of respect for those guys. They're going to have to keep him up. But, yeah, 45, jumping right back into this, it's going to be tough.
Well, maybe he wants to get away from the 2-year-old for 4 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a bad, you know what I mean? You know, as long as he's got a good safety net at home, you know, like maybe, you know, Indianapolis in the cold right now is not a bad idea. I'll go run away from DeMarcus Lawrence if I have to, you know, I mean. You know what I'm saying? Like
now you're asking Phil to run away. That's not nice. You're asking Phil to run away.
She's sick.
No, I know that. I mean, that was never his forte either. But I mean, neck up, right? Like he's got it. That's got to be as sharp as ever, right? Like, I mean, he can dissect something pre-snap. He says he's been watching a lot of football too. It's just the question of the rigors of, you know, 60, 70 plays. And will he be able to take care of himself, right? Like, that's it.
I also think we've been missing the Philip Rivers trash talking for some time now. So I'm excited to watch Phil just light somebody up, like, first play and just get under somebody's skin. Like, that's going to be fun to watch.
So you're saying he never needs you in the stomach?
No. Cam? No. Hey, you know what? I'm going to make sure we follow through on our bets because, you know, it's time for you to pay up. You know, you've had too much fun.
Because of that one? Because of that one right there? Because I asked you about Josh Allen in that way?
You stepped the line,
I just poked the bear. Did I just, with that question, did I just knee you in the stomach, Cam? Is that what I just basically did right there? Is that what you're saying?
No. It was funny, though. I had Joey Porter on, and he brought up the situation, and he was like, keep that crap in the locker room. Don't even bring it up. And, you know, we got to talk about it. I was like, all right, I'm just going to shut up about it. You know, Joey's like my big brother. So, like, I gotta shut up and keep it moving.
All right. Then I will keep it moving on with the day. Anybody going to beat Indiana in college football? Cam, anybody going to beat Indiana? Ooh. What do you think?
If we see them again, we'll beat them. I think.
You think so, huh?
Okay. Yeah. It's like the Oregon thing.
I see. Yeah, I mean, no, listen, two things. First of all, when I see Jeremiah Smith play football and they put his numbers on the screen, I think that they've had a typo. With 6'3", 223, running those routes is stupid. Yeah. Like, that's not – I honestly think it is a misprint. that there's something, and then there's Tate and this kid Bo Jackson, and obviously Sain is doing his thing, and defensively,
yeah.
I mean, you're gonna see some of these kids next year. I mean, in the first round. I mean, in the Pittsburgh draft, where you're probably going to be part of it up there on the stage. You might be in the green room, and some of those, like Caleb Downs, is not going to sit in that green room very long next year. That is for sure.
I've known Caleb since he was like in elementary school. He's from Georgia. We all grew up, and to see him wind up back at Ohio State, you know, his mom was a teacher at my high school, and so we've always been, you know, pretty close with families. And Caleb's kicking ass. Like, Caleb is the premier safety, and you know, watching his brother Josh, it's been really fun to see.
Yeah, I know, and obviously you got you know the team. Ohio State has the horses to win it all. Plus, again, Camp, the last time Ohio State lost its last Big Ten game and didn't win the conference championship by the final score of 13-10, you won it all. So maybe it's another time. You know what I mean? Okay.
Thank you, Rich, for poking back at that last game.
Damn, he's the best. I love him. You know where to find me if you want me to put that jersey on. If I don't recall ever saying that I would do such a thing, but listen,
I will post that. I will post that.
Okay, don't Cam, you're the man. Thanks for the time, sir. You're the best, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Cam Hayward, one of the best in the business. There he goes, heading off to take on the Dolphins on Monday Night Football. Ooh. All right, let's take a break. Right, I love talking to Cam.
You guys are great.
Certainly when I know. Certainly when we're not in the same room, and I could say things like that. Hank Azaria is here, baby. Let's bring him on out.
Woo!
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
REI Co-op presents a perfect outdoor moment with the perfect gift. Picture this, you're ripping with your favorite person. Bluebird skies, blower powder, and frankly, you're skiing like legends.
So sick. Another lap?
Thanks to REI's curation, from lid to sticks, you nailed the gift.
No way. How'd you know?
Does it get more perfect than that? Give without guessing. Shop in store or visit REI.com.
Back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Everybody, Hank Azaria and the E Street Band, a labor
EZ
of love.
Street Band.
Pardon me, the EZ
I'm not
Street
the
Band.
E Street Band. That's the real boss.
My bad. Hank Azaria and the EZ Street Band, a labor of love for you, Hank, a lifelong Springsteen fan. And also Brockmire is now on Netflix.
That's
everybody
right.
Check out Brockmire right now.
Somebody might, because only you three guys have seen it. So hopefully now we'll get a fourth, fifth, and sixth viewer.
That is not true.
It's kind of true.
And The Artist, the final three episodes of The Artist will release on Christmas, available for free on the network.stream. Hank Azaria is here on the program. It's so great to see you, brother.
You too.
This is good times. So Pete Alonso is an Oriole. What is happening? Edwin Diaz is a Dodger. Pete Alonso is an Oriole.
What's happening?
An Oriole. What's going on? Yeah. What's going on with your?
I think David Stern seems like he wants to like do what he did with Milwaukee, which is sort of young, his own young guys seems to be what he wants to do. So we'll see. I don't know. We lost Nimmo too. And I kind of loved him.
Mm-hmm.
We all he was like him. To me, he was like Roy Hobbs. He wore number 9. He was always
homegrown
with the kids and always had time for everyone. He was the nicest guy ever.
He was on a train barnstorming tour, striking out the whammer as well. Did he
yes.
do that?
Barbara Hershey shot him. Wow, it's crazy.
The analogies are really
it's quite astounding.
Eerie. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
I didn't know that about Nimmo
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, Barbara Hershey shot him.
She better not get away with it.
Okay. I didn't know that about that. Okay.
Yeah.
And Soto, as a Yankee fan, I was really enjoying the first 2 months of the season. Quite a bit. I really,
you knew that wasn't going to stay that way.
Did I?
He milked it for all it was.
He really did. He was so,
every day, Hank. I just was like,
for the love of money.
It was salty, though, because he was just mad.
Well, the mercenary of all mercenaries. There's no bigger mercenary in the history of mercenaries.
Rich doesn't like people to see people get paid, apparently.
What does that mean?
Because you were mad at him for leaving you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get any sympathy from this metaphor at all. And you know what's amazing is when it came down to one game. You think about it, baseball always does that.
Yep. And the Marlins, you always knew it would come down to the Marlins.
You knew
the,
going
the
in.
The Mets.
Yeah. I sound like Joe Bonino over here, but you knew it was done. You knew it was finished. That they finished with the Marlins. You knew you're done. But you did. You know, it's like, no way.
It happened.
Used to be the Braves back in the day, but now it's the Marlins. I know.
Chipper Jones, I curse his name.
I know.
Son is named Shay. How about that?
That is so disrespectful.
That's so brutal. That's how well he hit it.
That's how well he hit it. And that's why he did it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's kind of funny if it's you're not a Mets.
Really funny.
You know.
And how many Knicks games have you been attending?
I haven't been to one yet.
Why? Because of your band, or are you just what's
some
going
of the band? I wrote a one man show. I'll be putting up off Broadway next year.
What's that?
It's one. I don't have a title yet.
Okay.
It might be called Listen Never Mind, because that's what my mother said a lot. It was Listen Never Mind. That was a dismissive catchphrase.
All in one breath.
It was like, you know, if you say, you know, Mom, I'm not hungry. I'm not that hungry. Listen, never mind. There's some people starving in the world. Some didn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, either. Like, I'm thinking about twisting my ankle. Listen, never mind. It's almost Yom Kippur. Didn't make any sense.
Certainly when it was like December. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even around Yom Kippur.
It just was, don't bother me with this.
So it's about your
it's
upbringing?
About my life. It's about my upbringing. It's about all kinds of serious and not serious things.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so that's what you've been doing.
I've been working on that. We did our big reading of it, you know, where you have producers and theaters and backers come see it.
Okay.
So I'm working on that very hard lately.
So you're going to trod the boards?
I am going to trod the boards.
You're going to go do that once again, go trod the boards?
Richard Eisen, yes, a triumph. It should be a triumph.
And the band, how is the band doing, man?
The band is great. We got Bruce's seal of approval. Did you hear about that?
Did you? Because I've always been wondering about that.
I shouldn't claim that. Nobody sue me. Please.
Now, there may, just so you're aware, there may or may not have been, over certain poker nights in recent months, an opportunity that was endeavored to create through ChatGPT a cease and desist letter from Bruce Springsteen to be sent to you.
Too late. You missed that window.
Is that right?
Because that would have been hilarious.
That was, you know, it was for like, how do we do it? What do we do? We
so
try to get some of the lawyers at the game to maybe use their letterhead. We thought that might be a dead giveaway. But he has given a
well, informally, my son Hal,
yes,
buddy at school, his dad is a really like the best oral surgeon in New York. This guy, Jason Debliger, and a great guy, big Jets, Mets, Knicks fan as well.
Okay.
And one day I get, he's a big Springsteen fan, and he's come to see a few of our shows. I get a video from him on the text, and it's him at the office. I'm like, why is Jason sending me videos of himself from his dentist office?
You're a fan of oral surgery?
Exactly. And it pans over, it's like, hey, Hank, where are you? And then it's like, Hank, it's Bruce Springsteen. I have a terrible toothache. But while I have a terrible toothache, I was fabulously entertained by your version of Prove It All Night, which I must say, you do a pretty good job of it. And that band is fantastic. So,
okay.
I cried silently to myself
for
about 3 days.
Yeah, done.
And that is it for me in show business.
Now that is
done. That's awesome.
That could be used potentially if necessary. you know,
if to some, do what to sue me?
As protection for you can keep. Okay. But
well, I'll at least know you got like protection against you guys.
Damn it, I ruined it too.
If nothing else,
but that's pretty cool, brother.
I really actually was.
I saw the story you told on Seth Meyers' show about the number of times that you have fanboyed Bruce and completely embarrassed yourself.
Yeah.
And I thought about how I've done the same with Don Mattingly multiple times.
Have you really?
Oh yeah. Multiple times,
just
like just thinking in your head, like you said that you had this whole soliloquy that you were going to say to Bruce when you met him, and out came what did you say? That?
Well, I said it, but it came out like this. You know, Bruce, your music meant so much to me, not just your music, but the talks you would give in concerts actually inspired me to be a creative person. I don't think I'd be talking to you backstage at the Schubert Theater if not for you, which is what I said. In my mind,
right.
What came out was, Bruce, your music, and as a kid, and now still, and I wouldn't be talking about the Schubert Theater. Sounded like a goose on acid. And then the second time, I knew not to do that, and I was prepared, and I did it again.
High register.
Yeah, no, I went up the octaves. You talk about the voice going.
Yes, the higher register. Where you got to do that to say what you believe. You know, you got to do that to believe what you're saying. But yeah, Mattingly, I the first time I met him was in college when I drove all the way to Tiger Stadium, and that was when Steinbrenner was threatening to, you know, not sign him because his hair. Told him to cut his hair, and you know he's got a free agency approaching, and I was afraid he was going to leave. So I drove down and got to be the first one at the stadium, literally when they unlocked the chain link fences of the old Tiger Stadium. I was the first one belly up to the Yankee dugout so I could tell him, you know, on behalf of all Yankee fans, don't go. I'm a real Yankee fan. I'm speaking for everybody. Don't worry. We're going to get through this. And all that came out as soon as he came up was, Donnie Baseball, woo! That was it. Woo! And then
that's what you meant.
And then I did see him years later when I was the reporter, sideline reporter, doing great journalistic work for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game Celebrity Softball broadcast on ESPN in Seattle.
Sure.
In the year 2000.
Sure.
Yeah, we could forget that Celebrity Softball contest.
I kind of remember it.
Yeah, sure.
You had to do a lot of stuff for the mothership.
He was there as an honorary captain, and he told me that he had seen me now on ESPN, and he was a fan of my work, and I'm like, wow.
Ooh.
That's unbelievable. Thank you for saying that. And he goes, so nice to meet you. And I'm like, well, we have met before. And I told him that story and creeped him out again.
Yeah. You see,
just don't do it.
No, I did it to Nomar on a plane once.
That's right. You did that to Nomar
on a
plane.
The only thing that came out was, we have the same birthday. And he's like, cool.
What else can he say?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've done it a few times.
Hank Azaria and the E Street.
Easy Street.
Hank Azaria and the EZ Street Band. I'm sorry. It's just I'm used to
quite all right.
Visit EZStreetNYC.com for tickets. You're going to, on December 27th, Crested Butte, Colorado. That was your nickname in high school, was it?
Crested Butte, yeah.
You were known as Hank Crested
well,
Butte Azaria?
Well, part of my anatomy that was donned Crested Butte.
And then Aspen.
Aspen the next day.
Very
we'll be
nice.
At Sony Hall in Manhattan here January 11th.
Awesome. So those here in New York, we're on ESPN Radio here in New York. So make sure January 11th, EZStreetNYC.com for tickets there. Brockmire on Netflix, bro. I'm so excited for you.
I know.
That is pretty cool.
I know.
When is Brockmire coming back in any way, shape, or form? In any way, shape, or form?
Occasionally, you know, photobomb Dan Le Batard. But not really. No, I don't think so.
Photobombing Le Batard. Is that a band name or what is that? Photobombing Le Batard.
That's the title of my memoir.
Photobombing Le Batard.
Who's got Clemenza? Where's Clemenza these days?
Clemenza's passed away.
Oh,
oh gosh. I don't know if you're up for doing this.
Very deep. The whole thing's a deep cut.
Yeah. Hopefully you're up for doing this. I haven't cleared it with you. But I
got some kind of fun.
Well, we always have some fun. Yeah. I'd love for you to – we printed out some famous rants, coaches' rants, player rants. If you wouldn't mind reading them in a voice that you are famous for doing, we have the famous Mike Gundy, I'm a man, I'm 40 rant. Would you mind reading that as Mo?
Sure.
Hank Azaria. We're going to give that
I don't think I've ever heard this one.
Oh, well, you've never heard Mike Gundy where he started. Somebody,
man, I'm 40.
He was screaming at reporters who were talking about one of his players, right?
Yeah.
Criticizing one of his quarterback who's young, and he basically is like, you know, these are kids. Don't do this to
Oh, I did see this.
Okay.
Come after me.
This was a few years ago.
Oh, right? This is a long time ago. This is like a classic. I just figured that we figured that the Mike Gundy rant as Mo might actually work for you.
Sure, why not? Dear Rich Eisen.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, this lends itself. This is actually pretty calm for Mo. This is Mo happy. All right, so Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State. He wasn't happy with the local media. You kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me or our coaches. Don't write about a kid that does everything right, that heart's broken, and then said that the coaches said he was scared. That ain't true. So get your facts straight. That's all I got to say. It makes me want to puke.
All right, we got two more.
Two more?
Yes.
Save something.
The Dennis Green.
I thought it was a marathon. I thought it was a sprint.
Has Mo ever sprinted?
Two more. The famed Dennis Green, we are who we the faith the Bears
that
are.
That one's burned into my soul.
Chief Wiggum, we thought Chief Wiggum would be good for that one, if you don't mind, Hank, right there.
Yeah, Dennis Green. He was with the Cardinals and lots of the Bears on Monday night. And back in 06, Cardinals had been up by 20 at the end of the third quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so that made Dennis Green say, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. What is that after doing anything? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Gentlemen.
I think the main point of that was they are who we thought they were.
Boy, you know, you look back at that, it makes even less sense than at the time. What the hell was he talking about?
I have no idea.
They are who we thought they were.
Well, I remember at the time that, yeah, we were all wondering, are they that good?
Right.
And so they were that season.
I got one last one for you, Hank, and it's your choice. You choose who should do the Allen Iverson practice rant. Anybody.
I think this should be, well, I know it's tough to choose. You know, I feel these are people snapping off and losing it right after the game. You know, which I can really, as you know, I'm the guy at our poker game who called everybody a bunch of donkeys in an absolute fury.
And the name of my fantasy team to this day is You Donkeys.
Doesn't Grant also have one based on this game or
this
something?
Something it was. I think he's now Hank's ghost because you've left the league 12 years ago.
Could be. Made now. I'm not.
Why was the donkey phrase uttered? What happened?
Because where are the donkeys? He couldn't believe he was
donkey
losing.
Is a poker term for bad poker.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you were just.
So one so point. Go ahead.
Without any irony or humor, I was so angry at having lost.
Because you were really reading books and you were researching and you were locked into it. And here comes.
I was at a little bit of a stressful point in my life.
Sure.
And I was over. I was playing too much poker and getting too obsessive about it. And I was losing like crazy. Easy. I was playing in a much higher stakes game that I was losing in that too, but at least that felt like I should. And then I was playing in our game, and I was so furious after a beat that I just was like, I can't believe I'm losing in this game to You Donkeys. This game.
You said that to us.
You and did. Like, these are my
friends.
All sitting there like this. Trying not to laugh because I knew that would super infuriate and feeling bad for me, but also like, what? So look, I very deservedly they've never let me. In fact, they've named their fantasy team.
You Donkeys is the name of my fantasy team.
I'm in a
team.
Godfather theme fantasy league.
Oh, is that right?
Do you know what the name of my team is?
What is it? What is it?
It was an abortion, Michael.
Oh my God.
Is the name of.
Wow. That's a deep cut.
That's my fantasy team.
I thought you don't talk to a man like Mo Green. Like, I'm smart.
And there's a lot to choose from. There's a lot of great names.
There's going to be some cannoli reference, and that was...
The rent stays like before. All right.
Well, I'm going to go with Snake on this. Snake from The Simpsons.
Okay, very good.
This is the Allen Iverson practice round, okay? From 02. Man, that's a while ago.
If I can't practice, I can't practice. If I'm hurt, I'm hurt. Simple as that. It's not about that at all, but it's easy to talk about. And sum it up, when you just talk about practice. We are sitting here, and I am supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we are talking about practice, not a game, not a game, not a game. We are talking about practice, not a game, not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it is my last. Not the game. We are talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that? We are talking about practice.
Thank you, Gary, everybody.
So God bless good. You. So most good. Worked up snakes ever got. Say that. 37 years in the Simpsons.
The artist final three episodes releasing on Christmas, available for free on the network.
Pardon me. You have to go to the network.stream. Yep. You have to type that into your computer, mm-hmm. and then you'll find the app for free. Apparently, I'm only on things that are impossible to find.
No, it's not true. You're on Netflix now.
Well, now it took 12 years.
That's right.
And you 12 years, you'll see it on Netflix.
You play the role of Thomas Edison.
Yes, and you know what the voice I use? It's this one right here, which is Superintendent Chalmers. That's all this is. He got to play Thomas Edison, his lifelong dream.
And, of course, Hank Azaria and the Easy Street Band.
Yeah.
Visit EasyStreetNYC.com to see him.
Or just EasyStreet.com. Either way, you'll find it. Okay. That one's easy to find. Easy. Sorry, Rich. I'm stepping all over you.
Oh, good. I'm just trying to get the ticket sales up for Crested Butte.
Crested Butte, Aspen, and Sony Hall in New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hank Azaria. Great. Best.
Love this man.
I love this man as well.
Your favorite donkey.
The rich yeah. Donkey Show. We'll be right back.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, brought to you by Sonos. The holidays just sound better with Sonos speakers. I can attest to that. Susie can as well. My kids love it. Beautiful design, incredible sound. Effortless control means you can focus on what matters most, which is enjoying the season or enjoying watching a movie together during the holiday break or watching any of these college games and pro games that we're going to be locked into over the next few weeks. It sounds like you're in the stadium with the Sonos. I love it. You will as well. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with incredible sound. Explore Sonos speakers, soundbars, and more at Sonos.com.
I mean,
what?
He is amazing.
Oh, Hank Azaria?
He's amazing.
That's so
Rich.
Funny.
He is one of the... He's so funny. It's not even...
So you said you met, but how exactly did you meet, run into
what,
him? When
Hank?
You, yeah.
When Susie and I were dating long distance... I would fly in L.A. I don't know how or why I wound up at the Whole Nine Yards premiere, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And Hank was sitting at the post screening, the post premiere.
Yep.
2000.
Was it 2000? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Matthew Perry.
Yep.
And I just walked up to him and just said, I'm a fan. And they watched me on SportsCenter. And, you know, that's when one of the first times, even though it had been just like 2-3 years of working with Stewart at that point in time, I hadn't really gotten out and about, you know, I just was working all the time. And certainly not on the left coast because Susie was out in LA working for Fox, you know, getting her on-air career started. By the way, covering, you know, she covered...
It was amazing.
She covered the Shaq Kobe Lakers, the Pete Carroll USC Trojans, the Tim Salmon, Darren Erstad, Mike Scioscia Angels. They all won.
I was working with Suze, and it was amazing to be in that position in L.A. with those teams.
Covering all of
it. And Susie was...
Well, at any rate, so I would go out there, and, you know, while she was working, I would do something, and I went to that movie premiere, and I saw them, And they were both like, you know, hey, you're on around 10 o'clock out here, 11 o'clock. And we watch that Sports Center every night.
Yeah.
And so we kind of hit it off and just stayed in touch with Hank more than I did Matthew until I moved out to L.A. And Hank was the first ever celebrity picker.
Yes.
On NFL Total Access.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I reached out to him. I'm like, how'd you like to do that? And he did. And he came in. And before we started taping, he goes, do you play poker? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And he goes, well, I'm having a poker night. Like, do you want to, are you free? So I called Suze up and she's just like, absolutely, you should do that. Like, go for it. Because you need a new set of friends out here.
Yep. She'll spend all her time with you.
Now Hank's gone. That's true.
DJ.
Hank's gone. He's been here, and the poker game is still going. Same guys, same donkeys.
Okay.
I can see Hank.
Like, he lost it.
Reading the books, having coaches. Like just
he would take little notes.
Like diving
he had like these spiral notebooks where he would just write down hands and what the results were. Oh, he was really into it. And then he just got really angry at us, calling us all
like
dumb.
Phil Hellman style.
Was that his last game?
Sorry?
Was that the last game he played?
No.
Okay.
So it was the last game in which we weren't using that against him. And I renamed my fantasy team, You Donkeys, and that is the name of it to this day.
I love it, Rich.
Donkey!
I'm playing with You Donkeys.
Donkey!
And the other one was This game. Yeah. I can't remember losing in this game.
Right. Like it's a
what
last,
is about
like
this game?
Than, what's wrong with that?
You say it so aggressively.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.